You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hey, and welcome back to Beyond Damascus. This is the show where encounter meets mission. Friends, I'm Aaron Richardson, your host for today's show. I'm joined here in the illustrious Damascus Media Studio by my friends and brothers in Christ, Mr. Dan Demite.
Hello.
And Mr. Brad Pieran.
Yes, sir. Good to see you.
Can I ask a question? What makes this studio illustrious?
Many things.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, just the, it's just what it is, Dan.
Okay, got it.
You have to
got
see it.
Many things.
So no answer?
Anyway, if you're new to the show today, this is the show where encounter meets mission. We like to talk about mission and we like to challenge you to be on mission, and we are a show on mission ourselves. We actually have a benefactor who's partnered with us that as this show succeeds, kids are evangelized. So he's given $10 per subscription to the show this season to be given as a scholarship to a kid to experience a life-changing encounter with Jesus at Catholic Youth Summer Camp, one of our flagship programs here at Damascus. Today's show is going to be built like all our shows are built. That is, we're going to start with a question of the day delivered by Mr. Illustrious Jack Parker. And then the second half of the show, we're going to be answering the mission of the day. Jack?
Aaron?
How you doing, buddy?
Jack. I'm here.
Mr. Illustrious Jack
Parker. Mr. Illustrious man.
What you got for us?
All right. The question of the week is, a friend who used to follow the Lord is starting to fall away. How do I help them come back to God?
Oh, that's so sad. I'll go first.
What a killjoy, Jack.
Dan's got
it. Yeah, it's my fault.
Nice shot.
That was nice shot.
Sorry about your friend. And I love that you have compassion for them. Mm-hmm. I think I would say that Christianity is not a magic spell. It's not like, it's not like I get like touched by the Lord. I get the spell. And then all of a sudden I'm the exact same thing forever. Like in the same way of like, well, how does a marriage where you have two people who are in love with each other, at one point where they pledge their lives to each other, how do they get to a point later on where they're no longer in love and they break up and they get a divorce? I think it's because things happen throughout life, and, those experiences either draw that couple closer together or further apart. Right. And there's, I would have mercy and compassion on your friend who's fallen away from the faith, because things, just because they once, were in deep relationship with the Lord and with their faith, things have probably happened in their life that have led them to fall out of relationship with him. So this is a living, real relationship that takes work and effort. And so maybe have a conversation with them and ask them like, what's going on? Like, not worry about their, like, don't even go at like, why aren't you going to mass anymore? Or why aren't you praying anymore? Of like, what's actually happening in your heart right now? Because maybe they're struggling with doubts, or maybe they're struggling with disappointment. You know, maybe they went all in. I think a lot of people will go all in for their faith because the faith has certain promises associated with it, right? A life of joy, a life of happiness. And perhaps they're realizing, wow, some of the things I thought that were going to come from this relationship with Jesus haven't come. And so they may be struggling with disappointment. So kind of peel back the layers and find out what's going on in their heart, not necessarily why aren't they doing the actions that they once had, and just be a friend with them. And maybe even ask them, how can I support you in life right now? Like not even how can I support you in your faith life right now, but how can I just support you in life? And don't make it all about Jesus initially. Just make it, I think about, a lot of these, like we have so many young friends that get married and have a lot of kids, and my wife and my sister, I've watched them go through it. My sister had 4 kids within like 6 years, and that's a drastic life change, right? And she's not falling away from her faith. She's like living her faith well, but imagine if you like go from being single to married to having 4 children within 6 or 7 years. So many things have taken place that you can't just assume where they were when they were 22 is where they're going to be when they're 28 8 or 29 because things have happened. And so how can we support them through those struggles that, life has thrown at them, or the changes that life has thrown at them? So it may not just all be, well, I don't want to go to mass anymore, or it may not be a theological issue, or it may not be, it could just be that life has hit them over these last few years, and they just need a friend to love them and help bring them out of that darkness or that hardship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, Dan. I think you have a tendency to make a first move of like normalizing experience that I've always really admired. Like your tendency in a situation that could be overly complicated in someone's mind, you just normalize very simply. It's like they've probably gone through a life experience. Like I was just trying to think over here in my seat, like how many times have I seen someone have a crisis of faith that didn't have an accompanying experience? Mm-hmm. And the answer is never. Like never, every single time. And so I love how you normalize it like that. Like the person's probably going through something, and the dismissal of faith or the moving away from faith is probably corresponding with that experience.
Well, and I think, and I don't, this could be risky, but it's cheap to us. Like if we simply use going to mass on Sunday as the barometer as to whether or not someone is with Jesus or not with Jesus, we make it too simple, right? Mm-hmm. So the person could be falling away, but this could be a season where God is pouring out a ton of grace in their life because of the struggle that they're in. And so how do we, don't just look at the circumstances of their life, actually get into their heart.
That's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Don't count them out.
No, yep. I yeah, completely. Yeah, I love that.
I've got one that's kind of on
ooh, that was a good one. That was like, whoa. And it was like,
Jack, what do you think about that?
Yeah,
Jack.
I mean, we're finally like last episode of the season. I'm glad you're getting.
Did we get that in? Did we get that in HD? That's the real question.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That was nice. Yeah.
I'd love to respond just to the person who's asking this question too. Some good encouragement is that remember that you're not their savior.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to carry the burden of the salvation of their soul on your shoulders. That said, it you know, evangelization and love is always your responsibility. So I like to kind of see things and invite you to see things in their proper context. So be burdened by the commissioning that the Lord's given you of sharing your heart and sharing his name. Continue to do that, but don't be burdened by, you know, oh no, how can I stop this self-destructive path or self-destructive behavior that this person's involved in? Because that'll just wreck you, and it'll actually hurt your relationship with them. The key that I think, my two cents for this question would be to maximize the power of invitation.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this in, kind of as a good tool for evangelization on the show a time or two, but in inviting someone to participate and to receive, putting yourself on common ground with another person, mm-hmm. it can eliminate a lot of the awkwardness of, oh no, how do I maintain the integrity of my relationship, my friendship with this person, while also trying to lift them out of their stuff. And yep. And a way you can do that is through putting yourself in a common experience. So it doesn't have to be. It can be, will you come to a retreat with me? Will you come to this conference with me? It can also be, will you come to this movie with me? And we can have a deep conversation, you know, we can have a conversation about it. Or can you come spend time with me? Can you come hang out with my family? You know, when you come over for family dinner, we're going to engage in family prayer. Like that can be a great way to witness inviting into those life experiences. It takes the burden off you to have all the answers.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that sometimes they just need to get another shot in the arm, you know? And mm-hmm. I think an invitation to a retreat could be the exact same, like that could be the exact thing that they need to rekindle a fire.
Can I give a testimony to this real quick? Mm-hmm. So, we had one of the guys who inspires me tremendously. He's an amazing on fire Catholic grandfather, father, I'll brag on him. Patrick Baum is his name.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, great guy.
So Paul Baum, his son, was a member of my, of Dan and I's youth group when we were high school youth ministers. And I sort of just presumed that all the parents of all of our kids were awesome and had great.
Yeah. Like, oh, the kids going to youth group, parents must go to
so, mass. So we were planning a mission trip and we were looking for volunteers. And Paul said that his dad would be interested in volunteering for the mission trip. We were desperate. Paul, like, we were asking who might be available, and Mr. Baum, last minute responded and said he could help drive the group. And, he was even like taking calls for work all the way down. He really sacrificed to be there. And then on this trip, completely unexpected by him, completely unexpected by us, he had this just powerful encounter with the Lord. And his testimony was the one that stood out from that event. And after coming back, stepped into a lifestyle of actually stepping into faith leadership in his family in a way that's now generational.
Yeah. That was, it's remarkable. And I think we see that a lot, actually, like with our missionaries and with our campers, they have an encounter with Jesus and they realize, oh shoot, my parents, or my siblings, they don't understand the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so then they invite them to the men's retreat or the women's retreat here at Damascus, or they invite them to an experience of faith. And then that same thing is awakened in them so often.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's just,
thanks, Mr. Baum. You're awesome.
Yeah. That's what I was going to tie it back to as well. It's just fascinating that it can be so simple that like we forget the humanity of it sometimes. Like, I'm going to invite you deeper into my life as you're going farther away from the Lord, because I'm wanting to get closer to him. So I'm going to invite you deeper into my life. Come to this thing with me. And what is it like? It suggested that it's not until the seventh time or something like that. So be persistent. Like, if the first couple times they say no, that's okay. Continue to invite them into the things that, you feel like are on your heart. I have, an angle for this. So, I would use two words. So remind them. I want to take more of the on the nose approach of answering the question. So like, if someone's beginning to find themselves farther away from the Lord, how can you step in and help? How can you bring them back to the faith that they once claimed? Remind them. Remind them of the goodness that they've experienced in their relationship with God. And I think, I've spoken on this a couple of times here at Damascus, because early in our existence, one of the wrestles I had was with the word community. Like, what is community? Why does that matter? Why did God choose community to reveal himself? Why has he revealed himself as community? Just like all these questions. And the Lord brought me to this image that I won't fully share here. I've shared it on a previous episode, I think, though. But it was of Peter and Paul, and it was just in the early church. And it was an experience where I had read in the scriptures that Peter and Paul found themselves at odds on a variety of things in the early church. And when I saw this image, it was just really powerful, because Paul and Peter had this moment of embrace where Paul was coming to Peter, not to have the answer to a question, not to unload all of his struggles on, but he was coming to Peter in a moment of vulnerability to look Peter in the eye and request for Peter to remind him what Jesus looked like, to remind him what his voice sounded like, to remind him why he said yes in the first place. And it just has really impacted the way that I see what God's doing here at Damascus. It's really impacted the way I've tried to lead my wife and now young family with Eliza. Just this remind me concept. So very practically, if this is a friend that's close to you, that you've had experiences with, where you've gone on retreats together, or you've seen the way that they have followed the Lord in a powerful way, when you get the opportunity, and don't rush it, this is like so critical. Everything that's important is not always urgent. And so it is really important to remind them. It's not critically urgent if you're in relationship with them. Find the opportunity where you guys are, where the other person is most receptive to you being able to remind them. And when you find that, and rely on the Holy Spirit, rely on, just the Lord leading you, to find that pocket, and you're not going to be perfect. You're probably going to screw it up, but that's okay. You can do it anyway and do it with a sincere heart. And that's really what matters. But just going and looking at them and saying, hey, I've noticed recently that there's just been a wrestle that you've had, and I've had a lot of wrestles, and you know about them more than most people do. I just wanted to speak to something that I remember a number of years ago, because as I've seen you wrestle with that, I just remember this happening, and I remember you walking out of that experience so different, and that hasn't left. Like I still see that. Mm-hmm. And even in all of this stuff, I still see that. And I wonder if you see that. Like, is that like,
that's good,
is what I'm saying yeah. resonating with you? Cause when we remind each other, man, there is, I have seen such breakthrough when brothers, you two included, just remind me, like, oh my goodness, I had forgotten that I had had that growth. I had forgotten that God spoke that to me. Cause right now this feels heavy, but wow, I forgot that happened when we were ministering together then. And whoever's asking this question, or if you're just someone interested in this question and you can relate it to your own life, you're going to have a variety of circumstances around this in a variety of ways. But yeah, I'll just defer to that imperative.
Brett, you gave Peter and Paul's testimony. Have you done this before, and what was the fruit of it?
I have. Yeah. So a college friend of mine who was following the Lord really, really closely, shortly after we graduated, took a job, got married, was still going to Mass on Sunday, things like that. But slowly I, in my interaction with them, could tell that the Lord was less and less a priority for them. And it was cool because the relationship we had, though, maintained. And so he invited me, this would have been, man, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, maybe even longer. No, it would have been before COVID. So like 5 years ago, he invited me to go play golf with him, and we were just out golfing, and he was sharing with me just like the rigors of the, just the area of work that he was in and like all these different things. And he was asking me about mine, and I was like, hey, you're just working in Damascus, things like that. And he was quickly moving on, like, hey, that's great, man. And then I could just tell he was moving on from that conversation quickly. And it was so cool because once we spent, you know, 12, 13 holes together, I just found it in a moment where we didn't have much else to share to just be like, hey man, it seems like work is just like weighing on you pretty heavily. Like it seems like it's been something that's kind of been the central theme of the last few times we've talked. And he was able to just be like, yeah, man, I just feel like I'm trying to keep up with everyone else. And I feel like, and he just started sharing this. And I was like, do you remember in college when we had that experience together? And it was an experience with the student center at Ohio State. And he was like, yeah, man, those were the times, huh? And I was like, yeah, if I could share this with you, man, I loved those times, but I love the times now more. And I totally think you can too. That like the Lord hasn't stopped doing things in you because you've been wrestling. Like he's continuing to do what he did then. Mm-hmm. It's just under the shadow of this anxiety that it seems like has taken root here. And we just had this amazing conversation. And now, all these years later, he has like actually started his own business. Like he's doing something completely different and he loves it. Like he is like in love with it. And it's just been cool to see him alive. So yeah, that would be my example. And that's the first one I could think of, but I think, yeah, that was a simple conversation. I'm not convinced that it was the thing that made the total difference to have him shift directions, but I definitely think it reminded him of something he had forgotten. And that matters. It really, really matters.
Yeah.
Even if you think it's simple.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have examples because you do that all the time to people.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about mission for the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You guys not ready for mission of the week?
Because I was.
It's what we do on the show.
Well, I was so caught up in responding to the.
What's a mission of the week? Okay. I was listening. I wasn't thinking. Okay. I think. I mean. Hey, I can just do a very simple one. Go golfing with your friend, and on the 12th or 13th hole, when there's that slight conversation. No, but just to piggyback off of Aaron and Brad's, just do something with carefree timelessness, not with an agenda. Go out, hang out with the person that you that's been on your heart. If you don't have time to do it this week, just at least this week, make an invitation to see that person, even if it's someone that's you haven't talked to for a while. I've been intentional on reaching out to people that I should have reached out to long ago when things were going hard in their life and I didn't. And literally just going out to brunch with them. I've had a few of these meetings now because I have a list of people. And I just start by saying, hey, I'm sorry. A few years ago when this happened, I should have reached out and I didn't. And it's led to some really awesome conversations. So make an invitation.
Yeah, that's good. I'm actually going to jump off of that, but from a different angle. So I think sending out texts to people you haven't talked to in a while. So the social media age, right? We know where people's lives are going without really interacting with them. Yeah. And if there's someone that's been on your heart that you see I think I have this, so I should do this mission this week, but that you see just living a life that's different than the one you once knew them to live. Sending out like a text in the morning that just lets them know that you're thinking about them and shares with them a word that the Lord puts on your heart in prayer for them is incredibly powerful.
Yep.
So like just if there's someone on your heart like that, I want to encourage you one day this week in your prayer time, ask the Lord to just give you his heart for them and to give you a few words to share with them, and then pick them out of your contact list and just send them a text in the morning after your prayer time and just say, hey, was thinking about you today in prayer, and I felt like the Lord put this on my heart to share with you. And those little things can remind them really well. So I would encourage you to do that just with whoever comes to heart.
You stole mine, Brad.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
Fascinating.
It's okay. I got another one.
Yeah.
Think about a place where you can invite someone to participate in a meaningful experience.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes difficult to invest in yourself, but if you know there's a mission attached to it, you can do that thing. So if you've been struggling to come to the men's conference, like maybe come and invite your dad, yep, or come and invite your brother.
All of our adult retreats go live for registration the first week of June. So if you want to invite someone to a men's retreat or a women's retreat, we have 3 women's retreats and 2 men's retreats, and lots of conversion happens.
We had some sweet questions this season, guys.
It was an awesome season. Yeah.
Is this the part of the show where we reminisce?
Jack,
this
do we have permission to reminisce?
I think right?
Can.
Yeah.
It was a good season. Lots of great evangelization questions.
I was not intending to reminisce. What I was intending to say was, our show's better when you ask questions. So we want to be able to engage meaningfully in the struggles that you really have. I love, especially the last couple shows. We've had some questions from people. It's really clear that you're looking for direction.
Yeah.
So thank you for engaging. Thank you for asking meaningful questions that are close to your heart and close to your friendships and relationships. If you ever have a question that's on your heart that you'd love to hear our response to, email jackbeyond@damascus.net. Or check out our comments on the YouTube video. We do read them and we would love to respond. Like, subscribe, comment, share the show with somebody else who you think it might impact. And we appreciate it. Dan, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are a father who loves his children and will do anything and everything to keep them. Lord, we just pray for every family member, every friend, every loved one, and every stranger who has fallen away from the faith. We know that you hold them in your hand and that you love them and care for them. Mm-hmm. So we pray, Lord, for an outpouring of grace, any grace that they are not praying for right now. We just pray for that grace to fall into their lives. We pray for that you would fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have poured into them, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for every person who is eagerly loving their family members and friends who have left the faith. I just pray that you would give them courage, give them hope, and give them endurance. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Dan, the as you were praying, the image of the Lord just injecting courage into the hearts of those of us who are listening, who know I need to do something, but are still hesitant to do it. So I pray that that would be efficacious in your life. Thanks for joining us again for this week's show. Thanks, Jack, for your partnership.
Man.
And friends, remember, here at Beyond Damascus,
mission makes sense.
All right. Have a great week.
Get it. Sense into a jar. It's good.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's episode on www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts, or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We will be right back after a short commercial break.
People often wonder about the power of prayer. Why do we pray anyway if we end up having to do so much work for ourselves? So the reality is, we find ourselves up against a wall and we pray. It's like God turns a light up on the other side of that wall, brighter and brighter and brighter, until the light shines through the tiniest cracks. God might not do it all for me, but he shows me how to make my work more efficient so that together we can accomplish all things through his grace.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is Restless. It's four zany Catholic young adults seeking God in the midst of this crazy mixed up world. They discuss life, relationships, work, fun, and everything else in our world through the lens of our Catholic faith. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Turn to Mary, the Mother of God, for help bearing witness to the gift of life with the National Life Rosary. Designed exclusively for EWTN, the unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. Help build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. Available now at EWTNRC.com. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus. This is the show where encounter meets mission. Friends, it's good to have you back. And I'm here in the illustrious Damascus Media Studio with my friends and brothers in Christ, Mr. Brad Pieran.
Yes, Aaron. Good to see you.
Mr. Dan Demite. Someday we're going to give you the opportunity to join a Patreon and buy access to what happens before the show, because you're probably wondering why we're always laughing.
When the show starts,
there's plenty of reasons.
Behind the scenes,
there's a reason. If you're joining us for the first time, or if you need a little reminder, Beyond Damascus is the show where encounter meets mission, which means that every week we try to answer a question of the week submitted by you, our audience, and then we wrap it up with a mission of the week, because we're not just a show that talks about mission. We want to go out and do it. And speaking of which, we've got an awesome sponsor for our show today, this whole season, in fact, that every subscriber to the show will earn a $10 gift from this generous benefactor to be given for scholarship to a child to participate in Catholic Youth Summer Camp this year. So do it. It would be very kind. Jack, you got a question for us, brother?
This is awesome.
Yeah. The question of the week is, how do you avoid getting used to seeing miracles?
Okay. How do you avoid getting you? I presume you're not asking, how do you avoid seeing miracles?
Yeah.
How do you avoid getting used to that person? First of all, you should just be like, thank God that you get to see so many miracles that you're struggling with the fact that you're seeing too many miracles that they're becoming commonplace.
Commonplace, yeah.
I love that. That before I offer my two cents, that story in Acts of the Apostles, they're gathered, the Christian community is gathered in the house of John Mark, and they're praying for the release of Peter from prison. And lo and behold, an angel releases him from prison. He comes to the door, knocks on the door. They're all inside interceding that he'd be released. And a girl opens the door, sees him, slams the door, and goes back in. And they said, who was it? And he said, oh, it was just Peter's angel. And as if it's common practice.
Yeah, angels just show up at doors. Hey, there you go. More angels are showing up.
If it was Peter, it would have been different.
Just
but it was
another Peter's angel. Yeah.
Okay. That actually, Paul and Silas, and there's the demonic slave girl that's following them for like days upon days, like taunting them. And the scripture says Paul got so annoyed that he finally says, "Demon, get out!" And the demon leaves this woman. I'm like, wait a second, this girl was demonized for multiple days, and she's following you everywhere. And it took you getting annoyed before you cast the demon out. Like, come on, Paul, where's your heart of love and compassion?
All right, how do we avoid getting used to seeing miracles? I want to take a shot at that. That's one.
That was one. Okay, get it.
Guys, I didn't want to jinx it. That's why I didn't say it.
Good job.
I agree.
So there's a special word for this in the Catholic faith and in the Christian tradition. It's called the gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's called wonder and awe. Mm-hmm. That wonder and awe is a gift that actually allows us to engage in and continue to be moved by the glory of God. And just like any gift, wonder and awe is not a natural reaction that we have when we experience a great thing. And it's not something that we, you know, a muscle that we build. It's a gift that we receive from the Holy Spirit. So like, how do we avoid getting used to seeing signs and wonders and miracles? I think that question implies maybe that at one point when I saw signs and wonders and miracles, I was really excited. Praise the Lord. That excitement was actually a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit in you for the sake of building faith in you or in others. Certainly, routine can become the enemy of the gifts of the Spirit, not just wonder and awe, but if we fall into a rut of thinking that I'm able to do this by my own strength, we can run into problems. So my solution is, how do I avoid it? I pray for a continual outpouring of the gift, specifically of wonder and awe in my life.
Do you do that?
I do.
Yeah. What's that look like? Like you're just during your prayer time?
I do. Yeah. Especially when I'm moving into a season or into an event where I'm going to be ministering or being exposed to miracles and signs. I'll just pray. I'll pray either for myself or for the community that we're working with. I do that here. That's with our missionaries. Lord, would you build in us a gift of wonder and awe so that we can celebrate?
I think it's actually extremely funny because we learned about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation.
Yeah.
We don't treat them like they're gifts. I think the only gift people regularly pray about is like the gift of fortitude or courage. Right. Yeah. But like, do we pray for fear of the Lord? Right. And do we pray for
wisdom? It's just something I do. No, it's just something I have.
Yeah.
Like I can grow like, but are we praying for a greater release of wisdom in our life, a greater understanding, a greater knowledge, a greater wonder and all? Yeah. I think it's good because I think, we learned it and we think, okay, I got it now. And it doesn't really manifest itself all that much. Or are we asking God to renew this gift in my life?
And then my final piece would be, As we receive and as we build any gift, we need to work it out to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So like it is good for you, even if you're not feeling it, because wonder and awe is not a feeling. It's good for you, even when you're not feeling it, to exercise it.
Yeah.
You know,
to work it out.
Okay. So my wife and I have a joke about you, Aaron. It's because every time you return from anywhere, I always say, hey, how was it? And you always are like, it was the best trip ever, or it was the best talk ever. It was the best mission ever. Yeah, I'm like, how is it possible?
I'm exercising.
Little did you know.
Every ministry thing this man does was
it
the
keeps
best
getting better.
And it is funny because you are a, like there, you, your habit is that you recognize how God moved and you're celebrating how God moved. And so we're always, I'm always like, Aaron came back and he said it was the best thing ever. And I was like, oh, I saw all these problems with the event, that's but Aaron so was funny. Like, it was the best thing.
And, yeah. And Aaron, you're not a very naturally hyperbolic person. So it is funny that like that builds, but
I like
no,
to keep you on your toes.
I love the way that you have a lens for that. And I think it was funny because you and I, Aaron, and I know that you were part of it too, Dan, but I was discussing this year, like even in our formation curriculum, like getting the seven gifts back into the curriculum alongside the preternatural, the supernatural gifts, like just because it gives you that lens of like, I can still contend for these. Like, Lord, give me more knowledge, more wisdom, more fear of the Lord, which would be wonder and awe, right? And I do think that us doubling down on that allows us to just find it so extraordinary, everything God does. Like, because as you receive that gift and see it played out, and obviously wonder and awe specifically towards the miraculous. I mean, what would Mass look like if we approached it with wonder and awe? Like, I mean, one of the first things I read after my conversion was speaking of how at the Mass we are walking where angels tremble. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't even know how to comprehend that, you know, like what, like where angels, like I'm receiving that which angels tremble near, because it's so amazing. And so, yeah, it's just wonder and awe would allow us to just reverence all of the things of God, healing, signs, yeah. Wonders, the Eucharist.
Well, in reading, I think reading the Church Fathers actually fosters that in you too, because a lot of times well, we're living in postmodern world, and so much, I don't know, we're very individualistic. What do I get out of it? Very consumeristic. And so there can be a pragmatism of towards our faith, as opposed to the mystery of the faith. And the you know, when the church first started and the early church fathers, they didn't know everything that we know now. Mm-hmm. So faith was more of a mystery to them, right? And the supernatural movement of God, everything was so mysterious. And there's something about tapping into that mystery again that yeah. is beautiful.
Well, it surprised me. I was at a talk in Boston that I told you both about briefly, but I started the talk with, when was the last time you were amazed by something? Mm-hmm. And it's just funny. I didn't think about that until you were just saying that, Dan, but yeah, like ask yourself that. Yeah. Cause you should be like, we should be amazed daily.
Yeah. We look at the stars and they don't amaze us.
They don't amaze us anymore. Isn't that fascinating?
It does amaze you.
Yeah.
Solar eclipse.
What's a solar eclipse?
The solar eclipse. Yeah, Aaron, that was, yes. That was the best thing ever.
Have you ever watched the YouTube video of the double rainbow boy? Like, if you just.
I haven't. What am I doing?
YouTube double rainbow. Oh my. Or I don't know what you're
saying. I will do that right after this episode.
Dude, he's on a, like, there's a double rainbow and he is. Look at this scene. He's just like that's going good. Crazy over this double rainbow. I was like, that man has like wonder and awe. He just keeps, what does something. This mean? Yeah. He's looking for God's divine purpose.
Packageable sellable wonder and awe.
Yeah. Whereas Aaron would be able to define exactly what's happening scientifically to cause that double rainbow.
For sure.
All right, somebody else throw in your two cents before we get too
go
late
for
in
it,
the
Brad,
show.
Go.
Here.
I don't know where my stints are. Okay.
Yeah, I put them in.
Brad, it's all you.
So how do I, I'm paraphrasing, how do I refrain from getting used to miracles? Gratitude would be my answer. Gratitude is the enemy of normalcy. So when I'm grateful, anything that has happened regularly in my life no longer just becomes a normal thing, because each thing that I'm observing and am grateful for is its own thing. So like in ministry, every single person who encountered Jesus in adoration is a different person who encountered Jesus in adoration. Mm-hmm. And when I'm sincerely grateful, it brings me to that unique reality. It's funny. I've quoted this a lot because it's inspirational to me. There was a spiritual master in Germany, and I'm forgetting, Meister something. He's a saint, but he once said that if the only prayer you ever said was thank you, it would be enough. Hmm. And
it just is encouraging to me, because as someone who, like, when I'm sitting in prayer, will sometimes get frustrated with myself for not knowing how to pray. And I go back to that a lot. If the only prayer we ever said is thank you, it would be enough, because gratitude allows us to enter into wonder and awe, but it also allows us to see the unique touch of God in every circumstance that we're bringing before him in thanksgiving. So I would say gratitude. One of the ways that I've adopted this into my life, and I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but Nina and I, as we were figuring out how we wanted to pray together, we get asked, well, just, you guys know this too, when you're in ministry, you get asked to pray for a lot of different intercessions. Nina and I have a prayer board that we have kind of a Sunday time around, and it has our just different intercessions on it. Anyway, one of the ways that we practice gratitude is at the end of a given week, we look at all the ones we were praying for, and any of the ones that God answered in the way that we desired, we take them off and we thank him for that specifically. And then we put it into a stack of things that he answered the way we desired him to. But we also practice gratitude on the ones he didn't answer the way we desired to, just to practice gratitude. So you pull it off and it's like, Lord, I thank you that you're God and I'm not. I thank you that you can see something good in this that I'm unable to see right now. And we put it, just to be honest, into a stack that was answered different than how we desired. It is funny because a lot of times, and I've said this probably before on the podcast too, definitely to you too, but sometimes those will move over into the ones that were answered the way we desired. It just wasn't in the right timing. Some of them haven't, and it's not for me to know the times and seasons, but to practice gratitude, we've tried to do that. Like, hey, let's really intercede for the things we're asked for, and let's really, like, focus in that God did something here, or God hasn't done something here yet, but he promises that he will do something, because he wouldn't give us a stone if we asked for a loaf of bread. So I think gratitude is something that I want to continue to get better at, but I do think it's something that keeps us out of getting used to miraculous things happening.
I think you're awesome at gratitude.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, Thanks, you show gratitude all the time. And I think it's probably the gift of wonder and awe leads to the fruit of gratitude, right?
The two
are connected. I think that I was trying to look up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was gratitude. It's not listed in the, but it is, I think a grateful heart or a grateful spirit is the fruit that comes from wonder and awe. And so if we're struggling to be even grateful, then we should probably pray for wonder and awe. But that if once a sign that we actually have wonder and awe is that we're grateful. But I think that the gratitude is also a virtue, right? Like I remember when we do worship as a staff here at Damascus, all of our missionaries, we enter into a worship process. If we're doing 60 minutes of prayer, we do something called TWI, where we do 20 minutes of thanksgiving, 20 minutes of worship, and 20 minutes of intercession, where it's with the first 20 minutes is just giving thanks to God, right? And just thanking him
for who he is and everything he's done.
And then the second 20 minutes is worship. So while we're thanking him, he starts to highlight attributes of who he is. And then we just worship his attributes. And then we go into intercession at the end of asking him to bless us. And I think a lot of times we just go right into prayer asking God to bless us. But the habit, when we started that and started with 20 minutes of thanksgiving, it was hard for me to actually discipline myself to focus on thanksgiving during that time, because I wanted to go right into worship or intercession. I wanted to either go into praying and reflecting, or I wanted to go into like marveling, like, God, you're so good, you're so great. It was actually like just to say thank you, Lord, and to cultivate that habit. And then when the habit of thanksgiving was cultivated more, worship made more sense because I was thanking him, I was able to see his attributes more and then worship him better. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, intercession is like, okay, now I know you're going to do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, another seed, if wonder and awe is a seed that's planted that results in gratitude, I also think humility. And you've given a message on that before, but just quickly, I think whenever I recognize that I haven't merited anything, like I didn't merit the opportunity to see signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. I didn't merit the opportunity to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity into my body. I've not merited any of that. So humility and gratitude, they can just be two pillars we can stand on.
All right, can I try something new today to throw my two cents in? I want to try a 3-point shot. Does this count?
Oh, instead of a free throw?
Oh,
Did you just go in Aaron's mug?
We got an Aaron's cup. Okay.
That is the best.
That's actually, that deserves an extra.
Yeah, you should shoot it. And he hit it. That's perfect. Yes,
okay.
That's amazing.
Wow. That was
very climactic, like more than I presumed it might be.
Unfortunately.
This is why we don't throw coins, Dan.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the question? How do you avoid getting used to seeing too many miracles? First of all, yes, going on like, thank God you see that many miracles. Yeah. So you're going to use like, thank you, Jesus. I do think we're living in a special season, a new Pentecost where God is pouring out signs and wonders on the earth below in a new way. So if you're not seeing miracles, just start praying for miracles that God would show up because he is hungry to pour his power and his love and his glory out on this earth. And in a time, in a season where people have rejected him, he wants to give evidence that he is real. So this is a time for miracles. We are living in a miraculous season of the church, and we should be asking for that. So ask for miracles. If God is pouring out so many miracles that you're seeing too many and you're having a hard time with gratitude and you're getting used to it, I think just examine, are you going after sensationalism or manifestation, right? Do I want, am I just like, do I do evangelization just for the sensationalism of like, wow, that was so cool. Or that was and I think it is, you know, I love going to a good movie because something happens inside of me during a good movie, right? Like I feel things, I'm on the edge of my seat. And then I walk out of that good movie. I'm like, oh, that was awesome. You know, like, and sometimes we can accidentally use a prayer meeting or something like as if it's no different. Like we're going there for the chemical high that it produces in our body. And so yes, does a prayer meeting produce a chemical high inside of our body? Absolutely. We're body and soul. So even if something's happening supernaturally or spiritually, there's real chemical things happening with music, right? There are real chemical things happening when someone's preaching a powerful message. And so we have to be careful that we aren't just going from event to event to event to get this rush. Like I would go from one, like, you know, concert to another or movie to another. Yeah.
Can I make a little caveat on that too? As an organization or as someone who ministers in the name of the Lord, right? As in the name of church, we have to be really sensitive to that. So one of the ways that we do that here at Damascus is like, we train our people in knowing that, hey, you have influence in the lives of the people that you're ministering to. Like what you say matters to them.
Yep.
You need to be intentional not to build moments of hype or groupthink mentality.
Correct. Yeah. And hype is easy to build, right? And so you do have to be intentional not to build it. So how do we not get used to miracles? I think we are very intentional, not on the hype of the experience, but on the transformed life of the individual. And so it's not actually about the miracle, it's about the transformation. And so with every event that we do here at Damascus, we end every event with testimony. Why? Because we want people to testify what God has done uniquely in their lives. And we actually teach people how to give testimony, not on what I experienced, but what was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So maybe maybe I was being prayed with and I fell over and I'd be like, oh, I just fell over in the Spirit, right? Well, that doesn't testify to anything. Okay, fine. You fell over. That's like, what happened? And so we teach kids to share the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit that you experience. When I was being prayed with, maybe you fell over, sure. I experienced love and peace on a level I've never experienced before. I was struggling with anxiety and I felt like this weight was taken off of my chest and I could breathe in a way that I couldn't breathe before. And while I was laying there in prayer, God showed, like he spoke to me and I heard him say, no matter what you go through, I will be with you always. That never gets old because every individual encounter with Jesus is unique and irreplaceable.
Exactly.
So when you teach people, and we work with a lot of middle schoolers, so you have to teach middle schoolers, but we're also talking about, we have to teach like the men on the men's retreat. They're like, beef jerky and then Jesus. And like, we have to teach people how to communicate what God is doing in their life and the fruit that God is producing in their spirit. And that's exciting. So We end every event, our retreats, our camps, our women's retreats, our young adult retreats, our men's retreats, everything with testimony. Mm-hmm. And those testimonies are unique. They're exciting. They're inner, like they just fuel me because people are saying not what happened, but what the relationship is taking place. And so one of the habits I like to do is, and this is shocking to me how often people are stumbled by this. I'll just ask a person, hey, what led to you falling in love with Jesus? And that very few people have actually given their testimony as to why they love the Catholic faith. And it always is very unique. And I do it like I'll get flown in to speak somewhere. And it's always that awkward, like someone picks you up at the airport mm-hmm. and you're on like a 45-minute drive somewhere. You have no relationship with this person. And you're like, all right, we're just doing it. But it's amazing how many times I will simply on that drive say, hey, how did you first fall in love with Jesus? And it dives into this really beautiful, vulnerable conversation about their life. And mm-hmm. All of a sudden, someone who I could have had 45 minutes of surface level conversation with, I'm able to have a deep one-on-one conversation because their testimony unlocks the unique way that God has operated in their life, which gives my spirit encouragement, like, wow, I have no, but also it gives fuel for a deeper relationship.
Definitely.
That's amazing. I love that. Okay. I am excited to hear what a mission that you might have in mind that flows from that. So we'll shift gears mm-hmm. and head over to our time for the mission of the week, where we can be challenged to live it out.
Can I go first? Cause Please. Mine's very simple. Okay. I just said what I do, try it out. So just ask someone, how did you first fall in love with Jesus? If that's a little too intense for you, maybe say, how did you get so involved in your Catholic faith? And that question will spark a testimony.
Yeah. Awesome.
Brad? Yeah. I think I'm going to tie mine to my sharing as well. I think, make a list of things in prayer that you're grateful for, that the Lord has blessed you with, and practice the art of gratitude. Like, it's something that we have to activate in ourselves. So like, as you write them down, find it in yourself, like a willingness to really be grateful for it. So like, not just, I know I should be grateful for this, but Lord, this has been so good to me. Thank you for being so good to me. Can you highlight areas where this mm-hmm. has blessed me? And that active practice will then allow you to be that in the moment that things happen.
Beautiful. Do you know, gentlemen, what it was that prompted the what it was that prompted the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church that we now recognize as the Catholic Charismatic Renewal?
I don't think I do.
It was a prayer at a retreat, and the prayer was, Lord, would you re-enkindle in us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we received in our confirmation?
Nice.
So my prayer this week for you, or my challenge this week for you, would be to pray that the Lord would re-enkindle in you the gifts that you received at confirmation, specifically the gift of wonder and awe.
Yeah, I love that.
Brad, would you pray for that for us now?
I will. Yeah. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you so much for all the gifts that you've given. We thank you for the ways that you have revealed yourself to us, and we thank you for bringing us to your heart within the church. We pray that all of the gifts that have been poured out upon us in the sacraments that we've received would just be re-enkindled right now. Lord, we pray especially for the gift of wonder and awe, that you would open our eyes to see you at work, and that you would allow our hearts to be grateful every time we see your works, because we know, Lord, that where the grateful heart is, repetition follows, that we will allow ourselves to see it again and again, because we want to ultimately be close to you. And so, Lord, we pray again that you would open our eyes, and that you would open our hearts, and that you would bring us closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know where a great place to share testimony would be? On the comment section.
Yeah, that would be great.
Of this video.
Yeah.
So I would love to invite you, if this video was edifying to you, to share it or to comment on it mm-hmm. or to like and subscribe, get some $10 gifts for some campers. And you know, this is a show where we answer the questions from you, our viewers. How do we learn those questions? You email them to Jack, or you put them on the comments. All right. You get the idea.
What is Jack's email?
You get the idea.
Beyond@damascus.net.
Come on. Or beardedbeauty@damascus.net.
How did that sneak into another episode? Like at the very tail end.
It's going to get in as soon as possible. Yeah.
Friends, thanks for joining us. And always remember that
mission makes sense.
God bless. Have a great day.
Get it?
Friends, thanks for listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You can listen to the whole version of today's show by searching for Beyond Damascus on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.